Kaya?
I believe you have an intro to do.
Yeah, I think
Of course, yeah.
you're in
Never
summer
ending.
school right now, young man. You gotta get those grades up.
It sucks because I've always been great in school. Well, at least in college. I never had to go to summer school or anything like that, and now I'm having to make up for intros. Eddie, now these boys, they decided I have to do the next 50-something intros, which is literally a
Holy
year.
shit.
Because apparently
That's
I've been
so
slacking
much.
in that department. Some dick went through our podcast and did the math, called me out. I'm just waiting for the day somebody does the tally on the advertising reads, and I'm gonna end up like having to read 2 years worth of ads and shilling my soul out.
Awful. My least favorite part about our podcast is doing the intros because it's just, I don't know, it's the one thing that you can fuck up immediately. So don't do that. That's the worst thing to tell you immediately right
Oh, thank you. No pressure. Yeah. No, it is terrible because you always want to give the guest a nice intro, but you don't always know everything about them, and you don't want to
Yeah.
come across like, you know, here he is, this guy.
Yeah, don't worry. You can insult the sh disrespect me as much as you want. I will not mind.
You
I
know
might
what?
even like it.
Oh, I know you won't, but your fans will. That's the problem, is always the guests' fans will shit on you like, you, how dare you? But okay, you know what, everybody? Here's Eddie Burbeck, and today we have lots of fun topics, some of which we'll have to come up with.
Starting with, hey Eddie, how about for the people at home who don't know who you are, why don't you give a rundown on what you do?
Exactly.
I make comedy commentary videos. That's my main channel stuff. I guess YouTuber, I should mention that first. I also have a podcast. Wait, is it, am I allowed to mention another podcast on your
How
podcast? Is that
fucking,
bad?
well, no,
I
you're
didn't
more
mean
than
to
welcome to, but
plug
it might
it.
be, it might go down in flames now that it's been mentioned on this show.
Yeah.
We have a bit of
All
a
right.
reputation for sinking other battleships in our waters.
Well, that's mine. Or that's fine. Ours can go
Most
down.
recently, we canceled Daredevil, so tread lightly.
But yeah, we I also am part of a podcast called the Gus and Eddie Podcast with my friend Gus Johnson, who's also a YouTuber. And you know, that's my main shit mainly. So that's all I got.
Nice.
Two
Sounds
YouTubers. I
great.
don't like your kind around here, but maybe I'll warm up to you.
Hopefully I'll win you over.
Yeah, you gotta win him over by the end of the episode.
It's your friendly challenge.
I'm up to it.
Oh,
It's only if it was a video podcast, maybe I could, you know, like swing my dick around or do some sexy moves for you, but I got only audio here to work off of.
If it was in person, all you'd have to do is pour Kaya a drink and you'd be in his good graces for life.
I have a beer right here. If I could hand it to you over the audio, I would.
Oh,
That's
man.
okay,
He'd
I
kiss
don't
you
need
on the
some.
lips right then and there.
We all have our little gimmicks, Eddie, as you might have noticed.
Kaya's is he's a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, Kaya's is a crippling disease.
It's a great bit. That's a great gimmick.
Andrew likes his hentai and his furrydom. Jackson just likes making noise. I don't actually. Oh, and spending money, I guess. He likes spending money on things that make noise, and that's his entire entertainment.
Yeah.
And Charlie likes RuneScape. What is your drug of choice?
Well, I guess the thing I go back to always is showing off my knees. That's kind of what I'm known for.
Your
It's
knees? What?
my big beautiful knees. It's just a dumb fucking meme that I started with my channel a while back, but it's like every tweet response I get now.
Oh, wonderful.
Does that annoy you? Is it like that obsessive thing where fans
No,
just
'cause
constantly send you knees?
I intentionally did it, so I can't be mad at all. Like I made a sketch kind of right before, I think it was the video before my channel first started gaining traction. And it was a sketch about me like making my own documentary about how I have the best knees in the world, but everyone thinking it's stupid, and it's clearly just me trying to make people think that because I'm really insecure about them. So then I would like tweet about it all the time, and now I make jokes about it occasionally too. So it's I started the monster of it, and I have to deal with it all the time now.
That's kind of how I felt with Bored Burgers. Once it reached like Hollywood stardom and I was getting paparazzi knocking down my door to tell the joke, I was like, you know what? Maybe I did go too far. I'm the Frankenstein to this monster here.
Yeah, there's nothing much you can do. Because the thing is, it's nice to see people, you know, being a part of the joke, but when it's like everything you fucking hear. But I also make the joke all the time too, because I'm lazy. I'm lazy on Twitter. And that's why. So that's, I guess, my drug of choice is talking about my own knees.
Well, I can respect that to a certain degree. I don't know if I'd be so eager to keep bringing up Bored Burgers, but all power to you, man.
Wait, so let me wrap my head around this. You started this whole knee thing because you're insecure about your own knees.
It's a bit, is that I was insecure. I'm not actually insecure
about
my knees.
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So you're insecure about your knees, but then you got everyone to send photos of their knees. Wouldn't that make you feel even more insecure?
Hold on.
Like knees all the time.
Yeah, what
I didn't
if you
get
saw,
people
like...
to send pictures of their knees. I'm not Dan Schneider feeding everybody. I just mainly joke about my own. I want to just clarify that I'm not having people DM me pictures of their knees all the time.
But how would you feel now if, like,
some Adonis
man showed up with, like, the perfect knees? Wouldn't you feel a little embarrassed? Like, oh, I'm trying to show everyone mine's are great, but his are clearly the best.
The situation you're talking about right now is me walking in front of a mirror. I want you to know that. So that's all I'll answer on that hypothetical.
Fair enough.
How do you watch porn? Like, the rest of us are just jealous of the porn star's cocks, but... Do you just stare at their knees?
Staring at their knees.
Do you spend all of watching the video thinking about that? Is that the only thing?
No, but like the whole unrealistic body image. How are real men supposed to keep up with this? And do you just stare at their knees?
That's how I assume people watch my videos. Got other guys watching their videos and feel inadequate about it.
Look at them knees.
I've already done it. I've complained about myself doing it, and I've already done it again.
Oh, yeah, no, we are just... We do these jokes about ourselves, but then if somebody tweets it at us, we get mad. I was like, if somebody's going to tweet some furry porn at Andrew and he's going to get pissed off even though we're asking for it. Oh, speaking of, has anybody been messaging you guys with shit porn?
Yeah, a handful of people have. Yeah, but Kaya, you haven't really instigated a movement, though, because every time they do, they're like, oh, by the way, Kaya said you wanted this. They're just doing your your grunt work for you.
Well, it's part of the... Yeah, I mean, I know I haven't been printing posters and pancards and...
Give some context.
Protesting at Capitol Hill.
I was trying to figure it out so badly. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know why we were talking about shit in our bonus episode, the last bonus, and I posted a gif of someone who dips his hand in like a porta potty toilet, fishes out a bunch of shit, and then he takes a dump, but the dump is like all nasty looking because there's cum in it, and then he mixes it all up in a frothy mixture, and he puts it in a trash bag, and he puts the trash bag over his head. And he enjoys this, I suppose. But yeah, it was a funny gif.
He gives a big double thumbs up and smile at the camera at the end. Yeah.
The thing is, in listening to some episodes, I was prepped for, you know, like this kind of talk, but I wasn't prepped to be this shocked immediately. This is probably the worst I've heard of it of the episodes I've listened to you guys. Is that detailed bit? Oh my god! I think because it's real. It's not just joking about it. The fact that I'm having to picture that guy now.
Well, you don't have to
that noise.
Kaya's got that image.
Yeah,
but you can't have it.
He can send
it
to you right now if you'd like to join.
If you really want, Eddie, that's fine.
Okay, stop asking, Jesus, Eddie. There, I'll just put it in general.
No,
with all the hype.
No, Kaya.
I didn't want to say it again.
I see the image link there. One sec. I think there's a door open right behind me, and I think there's a sump pump going, and it sounds. I don't know if you guys can hear it. It's very loud, and I don't know what's happening.
Kaya,
so that's not good.
We can't hear it. So
Kaya, for context, just posted this animation in our chat where we have all of our previous guests.
Oh, no,
and now
fuck.
I
opened it. I saw it.
Don't open it.
I think we're going to lose all of our contacts now. No one is going to want to come back on
this
show.
Yeah, holy shit. Because nobody had said something since, like, the 19th. And now, you know, like a little over a week later, that's the first thing that's said in the chat.
I just want nothing but user left messages in the log from start to finish everyone filing out.
This isn't the worst. I mean, we've been posting so many photos. There's been photos of diseased dead children and photos of Hitler smiling. I don't think our guests are going to be very surprised.
Yeah, the horrible photo of Hitler smiling.
It was like 8 photos in a row, all of which were trying to make Hitler look good. It was like a positive gallery of, oh, well, he wasn't that bad. Look at him.
I don't want to go down as the podcast that was trying to make Hitler look good.
Oh, no. Well, I don't remember why we posted photos of Hitler looking dabber and debonair.
You know, it's just messenger stuff.
Well, the point is we don't endorse it. We don't like Hitler. Just want to get that out there.
Damn right, we don't.
Kaya, You brought up looking at cocks and getting envious in porn. I actually had a very, I had a super similar experience recently. You guys know about that game that came out called Scum, right?
Oh, the like prison one?
Yeah.
Skunk?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the survival game, but you're, yeah, right?
Okay.
It's called Skunk?
In the game, all of the men are so well hung. I saw a clip of a man peeing. And he was grabbing his dick with both hands and still had like 6 inches of free space left. And it was completely flaccid.
Free space toward the body or toward the tip?
Both. He still had like at least 3 inches.
Wait, he's like pole dancing on himself? That's fucking massive.
If he only put one hand on it, it would have looked like just a small Band-Aid wrapped around it. If with two hands, it was still insane. He still had like 3 inches towards the tip, 3 inches
but
towards the base.
Why does a video game have that?
I don't know, to make us feel bad, make gamers even more insecure. Like, is this what a dick is supposed to look like?
So, is this some kind of futuristic prison where they send every well-endowed man?
That's their punishment.
That's their
damn
crime.
Right, like it should be. Yeah. Make the street just.
Their crime
I want to compete
is having a
with
huge
small
dick, small-dicked men only.
The one
it was
who...
genuinely unholy. It made porn star penises look small in comparison. Like, it was completely flaccid and dangling, and it was nearly down to the player model's knees.
Well, is it pixelated?
Shit.
No, it's not pixelated. It's a full it's a full-blown penis.
This is a game where you can just watch people take a piss?
Yeah. You can do that in, like, any survival game. Rust was
you can do that in real
you
life.
You don't see a fully modeled dick in most games.
I know.
You
well, it's part of like an integral thing. Like, there's also this article that I was gonna try and find the GIF for you. Might as well add to the collection in there. But when I typed it in, there's apparently a rampant bug, scum bug causing uncontrollable penis growth.
Nice.
Even so just scum bug sounds like it doesn't belong.
Yeah, scum bug sounds like a porn site for weird people.
Yeah, apparently there's like a glitch in the game that's causing all of the male penises to continuously grow.
How many are there?
It's the best glitch
how many
I've
penises
ever heard.
Are there?
Yeah, that is this is actually the one of the few instances where I know of a video game modeling a cock.
I'm not sure, but
every player has one.
Yeah, there's a lot of dicks in the game apparently. Like here, well I'm not going to it's a YouTube video, but you can find a bunch. Like I just clicked on the article. There's a lot of cases where you can see the penis just continuously growing as it flops around. It's wild.
Does it eventually take over the whole map and that becomes the island?
I would hope so. I'm sure they're probably going to solve this epidemic at some point, but for now it's unpatched and uncircumcised.
Hmm. Wait, is it uncircumcised? Can you like, how detailed is this model?
I mean, it's not bad.
Huh. I just find it weird that they wouldn't have... Something Steam or whatever wouldn't be all like you can't just show dicks.
Did Rust not have dicks? I thought Rust.
Yeah,
I never
it
heard
did.
Rust.
That's what I was saying. It did have dicks, and there was another one. I'm sure Ark Survival Evolved.
Wasn't Rust pixelated though? Where when you get naked,
Conan
it would be...
Exiled? No, no,
no, really. No.
That was a setting. You could change the setting. For the love of God, Kai, stop fucking posting the scat porn in the chat. I'm deleting it.
Deleting
it. I'll post it.
I saw it appear again. I was wondering.
I'm posting it, and also, Charlie, you're lying. I looked up scum, and this is what I found, and that is not a big penis. That is tiny.
No, that Jesus, Kaya. That's not. That's before the enhancements. It's a stat. It's a stat you can up.
wait. There's a penis.
You have to
slider?
Level up for it.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a penis stat.
That's
how do you level
that's
it up?
Ingenious.
Fuck people,
no,
or
that,
do you combat
that,
people?
That's an ingenious game. A game where literally, as your character gets more powerful, his dick gets bigger, and it's literally a big dick contest. That's ingenious.
Did you type in scum penis to find that picture, Kaya?
Yes.
The file name is actually scum-penis.jpg, Charlie.
But now, if you move from images to all, the first link there where it's about causing uncontrollable penis growth, if you scroll down, there's like a collage of large flopping dogs.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah.
So are there vaginas in this game? Can you get big old beefy vaginas?
I think it's only men.
Wow, this game sucks.
Oh, yeah, it's actually in the game. What a dumb future. Just hanging there.
Wow.
Is it censored until I click on it?
Wow.
No.
Further down the article it is.
What the fuck is the point of this?
It's cool. I'm down for that. It
is cool, but I don't... why would you program it like that? What's the point?
I'm super...
For this. for clicks and stuff, I would imagine.
I'm super relieved that all of you guys also think that they're way too big, because for a moment, like when I watched that clip, there were no comments.
Oh, no, that's normal. Yeah, no, that's normal.
Yeah, that's actually a little bit...
I can't believe they put me in a video game.
Yeah, that's a little smaller than mine, but, you know, so it's cute. Average. It's a cute little penis. Yeah.
Mm. Put a little bow tie on it.
Yeah. Take it to prom. Mm. That's fine.
When was the last time you guys looked at it and felt disappointed?
Every day.
Pretty much. I don't even have to look down, baby.
He's speed running disappointment.
Eddie, every time he wakes up, he gets out of bed and runs to his mirror and goes, "Time, I'm disappointed. Done."
I thought it was scum. I thought I could level up.
The most shameful time for me is when I step out of the shower, because I shower cold and it's just embarrassing.
Oh, it goes away, doesn't it?
Little peanut,
it goes away.
Yeah. It shrivels like up.
You know what I hate, Kaya? I was just thinking about that. Like, everyone hates shrinkage, but the thing that I hate is when your balls get impossibly shrinkaged, and it's like they feel like this rough fucking desert landscape texture. Like, they're not even, like, skin anymore. They don't move. You know what I'm talking about? The ball sack?
Yeah. It retracts as well.
It weirds me out. Like, I hate feeling that. I feel like they're just gone.
Yeah, that's your instincts telling you, oh my god, my penis is small right now, I hate this. This is bad, hide. Seek refuge in a bush. Don't come out until you're warm.
Is that why I always go and hide in a bush before I sleep with a girl?
Yeah,
is that
I was going to say, that's one of our primal instincts. You need food, you need shelter, you need to not be seen when your dick is small. That's it.
Just to coax me out of the bush with berries, and then we can access.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it might not have to be berries to get me out of the bush. Maybe a nice big old thing of honey would do the trick. Wouldn't you say so, Andrew?
I would say so, because honey is a delicious snack food. But more importantly, honey is a free shopping tool that automatically saves you money by searching the internet for the best promo codes whenever you shop online. I'm talking Amazon. I'm talking eBay. I'm talking J.Crew, Walmart, Sephora, Expedia, more. And honey, all over the internet on these big websites, has already saved 10 million members money. So it's a big thing. We're not peddling this tiny little untrustworthy man who's saying, hey, I got promo codes out of the back of his van. No, this is a legitimate, large member style business that has over 100,000 five-star reviews on the Google Chrome store. There's no reason to not add honey to your browser today, especially during the holidays, when you're shopping and spending the most money you do all year, probably. You can get it for free at Jackson Filliman.
Joinhoney.com/official. You can get it free at joinhoney.com/official. It's the easiest way to save money online, so go check them out.
Eddie, what do you think of Honey?
I love Honey, actually. Not only have I worked with them, but they saved me a ton of money on my TV when I moved over the summer.
An actual endorsement.
You can track it on that drop list thing where you can put it on your drop list and it's like, hey, tell me when this thing's $200 cheaper. And then they email you and then you can buy it right away.
That's the fucking Eddie Burback, everybody. Endorsing.
Damn right. Thank you, Honey.
And now back to small wieners.
We don't have to stay on wieners, Andrew.
Yeah, really
that was
don't.
All I had for, that's all yeah. I had from, I did, however, look up how the bug was caused. Every time you logged in with a naked character, your penis would grow.
I wish real life
so I really,
was like that.
I really wish I had known that. I would have downloaded the game and just kept logging in and out as quickly as I could, and then just eventually have like this coiled snake of a penis.
I hope it takes up the whole map. You just drag it along like a fire hose as you're running.
Yeah, I wonder if it would drag on the ground or not. I wonder if they programmed that in just in case. Like if it got long enough.
A doomsday protocol. Like,
we're
trying to kill someone, and you can just track them by their dick just moving. You're like, they're about a mile out.
Step on it like a hose. You do that cartoon thing where you step on his dick and he can't piss, but then you step off and he just unleashes on his own face.
Is that a cartoon thing?
Yeah, I can't say I've seen that
stepping
one.
On the hose.
Like a fire hose.
Oh, with a hose, okay. I was like, I think I missed that Looney Tunes episode.
You know, I don't think anyone in our game is going to have a 15-foot-long cock, but let's program the physics just in case.
Yeah. Call NVIDIA. We need physics in here.
With DirectX 12, you have the most realistic cock-dragging physics you could ask for.
And with ray tracing, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, ray tracing.
The game's pretty innovative.
Really?
Another thing I saw when I was looking at Scum, they also programmed buttholes. So if you crawl backwards towards the camera, you can see like a really well modeled asshole with like little hairs and cut like gradient and shit.
What the fuck? Beautiful. This is game of the year. This is the most innovative game I've ever heard of. Yeah. What other Todd game Howard is can eat his heart out.
Can you take
is
a
it
shit?
Only men though? What about the vaginas and the boobies?
I'm pretty sure it's ew. Only male characters.
Yeah, none of that.
Apparently you can shit in the game.
No, I knew you could shit in the game, but I didn't know they had fully modeled buttholes.
I'm trying to decide if it was all of the developers or just like one guy that was kind of in charge. They're like, what are we going to do today? Model a gun? He's like, no, you, John, are going to model a high quality asshole today. And that's your job.
He's looking up reference photos and shit. Oh, perfect.
I mean, my heart goes out to the people who have to sit down and come up with all the algorithms that recognize penises and boobs and such for back when chat roulette first started. Chat roulette for all the young people in our audience used to be this webcam service where men would just go on to jack off and women would go on to laugh at them, basically. But chat roulette at some point put down the gavel and decided to ban everybody jacking off on webcam.
Didn't they which capitalize? Means somebody, didn't they make a like an adult they made only a, yeah. version?
Yeah, they yeah. said, hey, listen, you can't jack off on chat roulette anymore, but there's like chat sex roulette or whatever. Just go to our new website and jack off. They knew they couldn't stop the invading forces of the cock horny people, but like, how do you write that math to recognize a dick?
Couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
Which is my convenient segue into all of the thoughts being on Suicide Watch, because Tumblr is now banning, officially they announced today that they will be banning adult porn, well, all porn except just live action porn. Apparently the reason they got removed from the, you know, we all heard about it when they were removed from the App Store, apparently that was because they got somebody uploaded some kiddie porn, and then the App Store immediately removed Tumblr from its apps, understandably. And now Tumblr is banning all live-action porn, by which I mean photos of real humans. And everybody's losing their minds on Twitter, which I sort of enjoyed scrolling down the timeline, reading everybody's minds melting. Everybody thinks Tumblr is over now.
Do you think it's over?
I mean, it probably is, right?
I mean, a big part of Tumblr was porn.
I also heard they were banning the artists.
I don't know. No, they're not banning anyone. What they're doing, I read their announcements only, which I don't know how accurate it is. They're saying that if you currently have any porn on your blog, any real life porn on your blog, what Tumblr will do is private those posts and notify you. That's all they're doing right now. But the thing is, everybody's losing their minds about how this is going to be the end of this website, but I don't think that the majority of porn is actually going to get removed, because this is from their press release. Adult content primarily includes photos, videos, or GIFs that show real-life human genitals or female-presenting nipples, and any content including photos, videos, GIFs, and illustrations that depict sex acts. Now, it says illustrations, but then they contradict themselves in a follow-up paragraph. Written content such as erotica, nudity related to political or newsworthy speech, and nudity found in art, such as sculptures and illustrations, are also stuff that can be freely posted in Tumblr. So they
kind
of contradict them.
What they're trying
them.
To say, though, is art that's not intended. I know this doesn't really make sense, but, you know, it's in them trying to draw their lines of, like, art that was made that just maybe features, like, a naked woman and not, directly to be porn. But I think that's a lot of people's careers, right?
Yeah, not only that, but that's a really blurred gray line. It's like, how do I know? I could make a sexual porn thing, but if I shoot it artistically, I could be all like, it's an art piece about the beauty of the human body and love and the connection of the soul. And it's like, but it still shows fucking, and people are definitely still going to jack off to this. Where do you draw this line?
That's how Britain used to get around the rules way back when porn was still illegal. What they would do is simply shoot porn, but market it or package it as an educational movie, basically. So they would get around the laws either way. But here, I mean, there are no laws here. This is just somebody at Tumblr, some loser is going to be sitting there and going through user reports and deciding whether or not something needs to be banned when it's reported. But I'm just pointing out the how they contradict themselves, like, are illustrations banned or not? Because this, a huge part of Tumblr is porn, but I think an even bigger part of it is illustrated, like, furry porn and such. So are they going to get banned or no?
Do you think that they're even going to enforce these rules in the future, or is it just to cover their own asses so that when child porn is inevitably uploaded to the site again in the future, they're covered in a sense?
I don't know. Could be. Well, with the child porn thing, is what many sites do is they have a database of all the... This is going to sound weird, but they have a database of all the child porn which they match against every upload that is put on their website. So if you upload, say, something that is illegal, they can immediately detect that without a human being actually having to look at it. But they don't have the actual child porn photos. They just usually have some sort of a hash representation of that, which they match against whatever you just uploaded, so it triggers all the alarm bells. Apparently, the last time somebody did that, it wasn't triggered. It was a new piece of kiddie porn, and so Apple decided to take them down, but I want to see where this is going. I am actually really interested, because I would believe it if I was Tumblr, I'd kind of try out new ways to move away from all the porn, because right now I feel like most of Tumblr's users are just lazy guys like me who go on Tumblr and type in, like, celebrity booty Tumblr.
Celebrity booty.
That's it, I just click on the first result.
Scum, yeah. Penises.
I do know that in the art community, there are a lot of people who, when they just want to do porn, they'll open up a Tumblr and be like, hey, this is my porn dump, so come check it out. So that's probably going to take a big hit on people who do art commissions for that and shit.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are angry. There's a lot of tweets about people who are losing, or at least saying that they are losing their Tumblrs with like 60,000 followers, which are these
ouch.
Yikes.
Nude, yes. Tumblrs.
Wow.
I can understand the frustration there if they've played within the rules for the last, I don't know, 3 years building their audience. That'd be like if YouTube just suddenly decided, hey, we're deleting all Eddie Burback channels.
Do it. And then that's a smart move by them.
That'd be really fucked up if YouTube did some sort of policy, like if they came out and said, listen, if you're not good with the advertisers, we're not going to pay you. That'd be really fucked up if they did something like that.
That would be fucked up if YouTube, imagine them changing the algorithms and the creators getting fucked over.
Oh, the favor kids content and shit. Yeah. Imagine if they just made a system where they went.
They're outright banning you, though.
I know, I'm making a joke, but you're right. Tumblr is definitely going further into the extreme for sure. But listen, we can rein them back, though. We can get them back on our side, and I think I know how to do it. We just have to get them a good night's sleep. Do you guys agree?
Agreed.
Who are we trying to get back on our side?
YouTube.
Oh, I thought it was Tumblr.
Or Tumblr. Anyone. I think we can get anyone to come to our side with a good night's sleep. Do you guys agree?
Agreed.
Yeah. Yes. All right, then good, because I have the perfect way to get them on our side. Lease a mattress. Is the right mattress for you. It's a product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering with over hundreds of hours of testing. 3 foam layers, cooling pressure, body contorting, relief, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree that it's the mattress that gives them the rest they need. You can order yours online at lisa.com/official, LEESA.com/official, and get up to $235 off and free shipping. Guys, I'm not gonna bullshit you. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think this is a damn fine mattress. Real talk. I've used it multiple times myself.
You have
many
one,
times.
Right? Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I got
so
one.
So does Charlie.
Charlie does as well. We have both used them, and they are from the bottom of my heart,
too.
Really high quality mattresses. So check it out at Lisa, LEESA.com/Charlie. What's the rest?
Official.
Oh, you nailed it, dude.
Eddie, do you jerk off?
You know it.
Do you have any interesting tales from masturbation?
I really don't. I thought about this. I really, like, pretty uneventful for what's happened. I've never been caught. I've never, like, you know what I mean? It's been pretty vanilla of, like, bad things happening. One time I had a spider land on my dick. That's the only
that's
eventful
cool.
one. One time I grabbed, right after, I grabbed a toilet paper roll, and there was a spider in it, and it fell on top of me, and that was awful, but that was it.
On your dick?
That's cute.
Yeah,
what'd you do with it?
I've never jumped. We went and got dinner. We made plans later. Still friends.
other bug sexuals? I know there's furries and there's scalies.
Oh, of course,
dude. They get very angry if you confuse the two. Scalies are the ones who are into, like, scaly lizard
animals. There's a whole subsection of dudes who want to see women get fucked by, like, giant centipedes and millipedes and bugs and beetles and shit. Oh, yeah. I forgot what it's called, but it's got a name like all the other.
It's called love.
It's called
you bigot.
It's called the only true expression of love.
Love is love, damn it.
But no, it's
what a bug's life's about,
right? It's a defined fetish. It's got like a name like all the official ones and shit. Yeah. It's a thing. Are you into that, Kaya?
No.
Are
don't.
You into that,
I don't
Eddie?
Like bugs.
No, you'd think that maybe it would shake that loose when the spider, you know, landed on my penis.
Yeah,
but
really.
Didn't.
You didn't feel like a sexual tingle when that happened? No, like
no,
like
it's
a
more
no awakening.
Fear.
Not like a gasp of like, oh, what's this?
Sometimes fear is the source of one of those O's, but not in that instance. No,
I would jump up and just, oh God, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was not fun.
It's that moment when you're in anywhere and you suddenly feel something on your face and you realize you just walked into a spider web.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You go, ah! But on your dick, oh, God, burn that bathroom down. Run.
Do any of you other boys have any raw encounters with animals? Any wildlife nature stories?
I don't like how you put that.
Yeah.
All right, let me rephrase it then. Have any of you guys just gone bareback with an animal?
Jesus.
Oh, well, when you put it like that, yeah.
I mean, do you guys have any fun animal stories or bug shit or any tales from the animal kingdom?
Like, well, I know you do because you told that story about like farting in your dog's mouth.
Oh,
or, like,
yeah, that's one
you,
of them.
What?
Did he make your dogs lick your ass? What was it?
Well, that
what?
To quickly summarize it, I was like 9 or 10 and I just started like farting in my dog's face. And my dad walked in and he was like, all he said was, how would you feel if she did that to you?
That was a powerful learning moment.
Oh, yeah, I never felt more ashamed in my life.
He taught you the golden rule right there.
Wasn't it bare ass?
Yeah, I was pulling down
face.
My pants and everything and doing
Jesus.
It. Yeah. She was just sitting on my bed while I was playing games, and every time I had to fart, I'd just get up and fart in her face.
Respect to your dad for making a learning moment out of it. I feel like if I was a dad, my first response would be like, the fuck are you doing, dude?
Eddie, if it makes you
I
feel
never
any better,
let them in the same room again.
If this is how you do it, then you just blow us directly in your son's dog's face.
Yeah, and he farts in your face and goes, "How you like it, huh?" But if it makes you feel any better, Eddie, I have not farted in my dog or any other dog's face ever since.
That's good. That makes me feel much better.
Yeah.
Hey, Eddie, did you know Charlie used to sniff his own ass though?
Sorry, I didn't hear that. What'd you say?
Charlie used to sniff his own ass. Has he told you?
I don't think so, no. I don't recall.
He always tells that story at parties.
Yeah, I don't think I whispered that one to him before the podcast.
Hey, remember to record your own audio, and also I smell my own asshole.
Charlie, when he was little, would bend himself into a pretzel to rub his hand into his ass crack and smell it afterwards.
And then tell his parents about it.
Well, I didn't tell my parents about it. There was nothing to brag about there.
That'd
that
be weird, guys, if you told his parents.
Well, on the upside, they know now.
Yeah, that brings me to a question for you, though, Eddie. Did you have any, like, weird, not experiences, but habits as a kid? Because mine was, like, kind of a habit. I'd do it pretty often.
I found out, I was too young for it, but I kind of had, like, a temper when I was a kid that went away when I was around, like, 10. But apparently, when I was a dumbass baby, I would get mad about things and just, like, bump my head against the wall, like not hard, but I just like kind of clench my teeth and just like hit my own dumb fucking head against the wall, and that's all I did, I guess, of weird quirk stuff. But yeah, like, can you imagine just seeing an infant, just not hard, but just sitting in a corner against a wall, just bumping his head constantly? You'd think that I wouldn't be able to speak when I was an adult, but you know, I'm here.
That's like some exorcism shit. I'd be taken into the priest.
Do you remember at all why you did it? Did you feel bad about it?
I was too young
size?
To even remember. Oh, yeah, that was it. I looked down at my scumbag penis, and it was too small.
You didn't log in and out enough in real life. That's another.
Video
just
games
choking
always
yourself unconscious, and then your dick gets bigger?
What a brilliant strategy.
That's logging in and out in real life.
Yeah.
I wish that worked in real life, where if you go to sleep naked, you wake up with a bigger dick. That would be great.
No, fuck real that. I wish. I wish life had like console command or whatever.
Yeah, cheat codes. Oh god. But here's the thing. Yeah. Here's what you got to remember. Everyone else on Earth will also be using those cheat codes.
Not if I use the cheat code to turn off their cheats.
Shit. Jackson solved the
system. He got to it first. We're all fucked. Brilliant. Nobody answered the question anymore.
Yeah. Oh god damn it.
That would be nice though to just change my y variables.
Your y axis.
Mm. It doesn't make you taller, it just stretches you out.
Yeah, you just look really, really gangly and awful.
You're slender, man. Yeah.
And the physics aren't aligned for that axis, so your feet clip into the floor.
Yeah. Half of my body isn't textured.
The developers tied the physics to the frame rate too, everything's fucked up.
Yeah, whenever you take one regular step, you teleport across the room.
Might be kind of useful, though.
Yeah, kind of.
In a way.
You should be able to control it. If, try walking one step to just pick up like a glass of water or something.
If something's near you, you're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah, you go to kiss your girlfriend, you clip inside her and kill her.
She explodes.
She explodes up.
That wouldn't be fun.
Be the greatest power and the greatest curse simultaneously.
Ooh, speaking of video games, Andrew.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this, the whole Bethesda drama with the bag?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Did we?
Oh, okay, well, I'll give you the floor, Andrew, to tell us all how you told us so, about how shitty Bethesda is, because this is your time to shine.
So Bethesda apparently had a collector's edition of Fallout 76, which...
$200 worth,
$200, yes. $200. You got a replica helmet of Fallout Man, you got, like, a this, a that, a who gives a shit. It was a typical collector's edition with a little plaque and some other doodads, fine, whatever. People pre-ordered it, and apparently they shipped them out with a really shitty bag. It was supposed to be a nice canvas bag, but instead they sent this cheap, cut-for-cost budget nylon bag that didn't give a fuck. So a bunch of people reasonably complained. They went, hey, we saw in the photos that when we paid for this thing, we were going to get this canvas.
Wait. Andrew.
What?
I just want to add this little bit on there. It was advertised as a high-quality canvas bag on all the posters, on their own website, even after launch. It was advertised as a canvas bag, like a nice quality canvas bag.
So the people complained, which, you know, obviously they would. They said, hey, we saw these advertisements, we saw what was in the pack, and what the fuck is this bag? And one of the first responses that a guy tweeted out that he got was Bethesda just flat out telling him, oh yeah, that was the prototype, and it turned out to be too expensive to make, so enjoy your shitty bag. And then
the phrase he said was, we aren't planning on doing anything about it.
Yeah, we're not going to, literally to his face, we're doing nothing about this. So later... So,
somebody sent me that, and I couldn't believe that it was real.
So later...
Yeah, everyone believed it was faked, but no, they proved that it was authentic.
That's kind of like that
real email.
That's kind of like that Louis C.K. bit about rental cars, where, you know, he calls him because he like took off and left it there. And just the response of just going, yeah, what are you going to do? We did it. You know, and it's like, that doesn't work like that, man.
Yeah.
Especially with the internet and the internet with video games. You don't think people are just going to be like, oh, okay, sorry, it's too expensive. I totally understand. I paid you $200. That's totally cool.
$200 fucking collector's item and they can't afford canvas.
We're not even close to done on this fucking story, boys. Yeah. So later, Bethesda gets so many complaints and so much bullshit and gut for this. They send out a tweet. They send out a fucking tweet on the Fallout 76 thing, and it says, we're very sorry for this bag thing. We apologize that the $200... They even reiterate the price to remind you it was $200. And they say, we're very sorry that this bag in the $200 collector's version was not up to snuff for our customers and this and that. Please contact our service department, and they will assist you in granting you 500 in-game Fallout atoms. Now, boys... 500 atoms in Fallout is $5. It is $5 of money. And if you go to the Fallout 76 atom store, where you can buy cosmetics and items with the atoms, the 500 atoms equates to a door and a rug in-game. That's it. That's what you can get. A little door and a little rug.
How completely out of touch they are, especially with the gaming community on the internet, where it's like, you thought that making it better would be giving in-game currency, which is like, it's almost like saying, you know what, guys, to fix this, you know, we'll give you A broken version of PUBG. Is that cool? It's like what people complain about they're giving as the reward. It's like, how exactly. would you think that would fix the it's problem? Like
you know what? I'll make you whole. I'll give you two Snickers bars.
And boys, wait, no. I have bad news. The story is still not over. Later, a little sleuthy person on Reddit was doing some shopping of their own. Apparently, the Fallout 76 canvas bag they advertised, you can buy yourself on bulk clothing and apparel websites for less than $5.
Oh my
God. Yeah, for less than 500 all atoms. The only difference is it doesn't have the little Fallout 76 monogram sewn into it. That's it. It's the same exact bag they advertised.
So it's better because it doesn't say Fallout 76.
See, with all this shit that's happening by this point, I truly believe if you lost money on Fallout 76, which by the way, they're not even offering refunds on anymore, basically, because of their support. Oh my just God. Fucking
they were never
over.
Offering refunds. That's why oh, yeah. that's why they sold it through their little Bethesda launch. Because they can get away with it.
I am fully now of the belief, I've said a lot of things about Bethesda, but I completely believe this. If you bought Fallout 76 and you can't get a refund or you feel you lost your money, you completely deserve it. Like, there is no coming back from this. How can you trust this company by this point at all for anything?
I understand your frustration towards them, Andrew, but you have to at least look at like the good things they do. They've confirmed that they're using the same engine for the new Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, that too.
Their new
that's it. Elder Scrolls.
So we might be taken out of the experience.
It's not even Elder Scrolls I'm astonished by. Fucking Starfield, which is supposed to be their
IP.
Big new IP, their brand new look. We make new games, guys. We have a new series. It's still using the same engine.
Yeah,
what
I'm
the
someone...
fuck?
There's no issue with using the same engine. A lot of games do. But this engine is just terrible.
It's yeah. like, how it's old is so it? It came bad. Out with Oblivion, right? It's disgustingly old.
It was Morrowind, I think. I think
yeah,
it was even earlier.
It's over 10 years old. It's been proven. And and that's the other thing. It's been proven to be a piece of shit. Call of Duty uses the same engine every game, but it works. It runs at 60 frames a second. It does what they need to do for the games. The whatever the fuck, the Gamebryo or the Embryo engine has been proven time and time again to be buggy and unreliable and hard to mod. And complicated and shitty.
They use the excuse, well, Bethesda does, that it's the only engine that they can use that allows for their immersive worlds, these large AAA games.
Yeah.
Look at GTA! Look at GTA!
Let's even go in their genre. Look at The Witcher. The Witcher is an astonishingly good game that has all the RPG shit they want. They can suck my dick.
No, it's marketing talk. That when they say that, all they mean is we don't want to pay 5% royalties
exactly.
to Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
all they mean.
It's embarrassing.
Back when Fallout 4 came out, I was already... Because I remember playing Skyrim on the 360 and thinking, like, you know, I can't wait until... Even though I really did enjoy Skyrim, like, seeing water far away and noticing at the time, like, oh, that kind of looks like shit. I can't wait till their next game is going to look so good. And I remember buying Fallout 4 and... If you guys all, I'm assuming maybe you played Fallout 4, when you go up in whatever the fucking helicopters are in the game, I don't remember the names of them, and you look down and you're like, this looks like a game on the 360 and I'm playing this on the PS4. Like, why
it looks exactly the same. They've made no like technical improvement.
I think it even looked worse.
It's because their fan base is complacent. That's it. No one
Jackson,
cares because their audience can mod it.
I'm just so tired of you guys bad-mouthing them like this. Like, Jesus Christ. You don't realize the kind of work they did on the engine. They added new lighting effects for Fallout 76. Yeah.
And then, cut to the video where the lights are shining through the ground up at the
I feel like this is an effect of them all being in this echo chamber where Bethesda... I guess they all of them looked at all the other game companies and saw that their motto is the customer is always wrong. And look at those guys. They always just stay pissing the gamers' faces and they don't have any problems. Why can't we just send them a nylon back? Fuck them.
Kaya, you know exactly what it is, right? It's what? All the cult behind Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and that's it. If Bethesda made original games and did not have the licenses for Fallout and Skyrim, imagine Skyrim comes out and it's the same exact game, but it's Norn Bargensen's Adventure in Elderwand or whatever. No one would have bought it. No one would have given a fucking shit. All it is this little cult that goes, oh man, the Elder Scrolls and the Fallout, I love them and I remember them and they're so good. So they give Bethesda all these passes like, it's glitchy and shit and you're ripping me off, but hey, you gave me Elder Scrolls, so you're okay. It's pathetic. It's fucking pathetic, and I can't help but laugh.
When Fallout 4 came out, this is how it's always felt like to me, and I had told this to Gus and my brother. The creation, it's Creation Engine, right? The name of it?
Yeah.
The Creation Engine.
Gabriel or something.
Yeah.
It feels.
No, Creation Engine.
It feels like you're playing with action figures. Like, that's what the character is coming up to you. It feels like if you just edited in a big hand holding everybody and moving them along, that's what playing their games feel like now. Oh, it's like, replace that shit. I just played. I'm still in the middle of Red Dead 2 right now. It's like, that's a new modern game that looks fucking incredible. If we're just talking about graphics, it's like. 76 looks like shit. I know had those shots of the rays coming through.
It's just so baffling. And even then they have all these arguments of like, oh, you know, it's Bethesda makes a bad game, but they make a good base. It's so good with mods and there's all these great mods. That doesn't mean that they make good games. That means that the community comes in and fixes their shit. It's
working
pathetic.
There has to be terrible, like Jackson said. Imagine how like being a talented programmer or 3D designer and then some executive comes in and tells you, well, you know, we're planning on porting this to 47 different platforms, so make sure it can run on iOS 2. You're stuck there and bragging
Tom
about...
Like, give me my jacket, I'm going on stage.
Really?
And he's gone for six months hyping the shit up.
To be fair, I checked their Twitter today and Bethesda's actually planning on making everybody whole. They tweeted this earlier today. We are finalizing manufacturing plans for replacement canvas bags for Fallout 76 Power Armor Edition. If you purchase the CE, I don't know what that is, please visit blah 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 and submit a ticket by January 31st, 2019. We'll arrange to send you a replacement as soon as the bags are ready. So by like 2 months from now, is when their replacement project ends. They still have to manufacture the bags, and then I guess 5 to 6 months from now, you'll get them.
What do you think the player base size is going to be of 76 at that time? Oh my God. It's going to be like 10 people.
76 players.
It's going to be Lawbreakers 76.
You know what I'm really hoping for, Eddie? I'm really hoping for it. The Game Awards is in 3 days. We're recording this on the 3rd. I am hoping. I really hope. I think this might be the year. Todd Howard or someone else from Bethesda goes on stage and finally people start booing. Deserved boos.
He is going to be at the Game Awards.
I really hope people finally start booing or not taking this shit anymore. I hope could be the year.
I can't wait for the Polygon articles calling them man-children and racist or something.
I know. Was it not good enough for you? They worked so hard on this game that they just copy and pasted.
You have a phone. It looks good on a small screen. Just play it on your phone.
Yeah, but wait for it to come out on the Switch so that way you can play it on a plane and be amazed.
Do you guys think they... Do you think it was as sinister of, like, planning 76 not to be as bad as it was? But I can't tell if they decided to be lazy with having, you know, no NPCs and robots and bad quests, or if they got halfway through development and were like, oh my God, we can't do it. We can't do half of the things we want to do. I feel like that's most of the things is Todd and all of them dream up these giant plans. And they say that when they're developing, they're like, the next Elder Scrolls can't be made on this generation because it's gonna be too crazy, guys. And then it comes out, it's on the same fucking engine. It's like, how is it that crazy if it's gonna look and play the same?
You know what I really honestly believe it was? I believe that they sat down and their initial goal was, we're gonna take the fun of Fallout and the big world of Fallout and we're gonna make it online and add your friends and you can all quest. But then as they were going in, they went, you know, everyone's going to play it with their friends. Why don't we just let the fun come from you playing with your friends? Fuck characters, fuck quest lines, fuck NPCs. Just talk to your friends and make your own fun. So they just kept cutting out all this shit or not bothering to work on stuff because they thought, well, if we just give them a little thing, all the friends and people they talk to will fill in the gaps. That's not how it works, though. That's not at all
how it
works.
Yeah, I'm always surprised by game companies putting faith in role-playing online. It does not work.
Not at all.
I mean, even like Red Dead, I think it's pretty bare, but I'm having some fun with Red Dead Online right now. But it doesn't feel like companies will pretend like something like Red Dead Online, you'll be, you know, walking into a saloon with your friends and drinking. And it's really, you're just you're fucking around with your friend online. It's not, you don't feel like two cowboys.
While baby crying in the background.
Yeah.
The only time role-playing online actually happens is when you go to those kid servers in, like, Roblox or something, and they're like, let's do Teen Titans roleplay. I'm Beast Boy. Oh, and I walk up to Raven, say, hi, Raven. And no one wants to do that. No one wants in their $60.
Who are you hanging around, Andrew?
That's so dumb, but if you could link that server, maybe
just whatever. What I'm saying, though, is the only people who do serious roleplay online are either the group that play Dungeons & Dragons or the kids who want to pretend to be stuff. And for the other, I don't know, 99% of your player base, they're not going to play along with this shit. People, they aim to break games and utilize all the shit that came out of them. Everyone makes these games, and then the community breaks them in 30 minutes, what took them, like, hours to do, and they're like, we didn't know that this would happen. How could this possibly happen?
Or in Bethesda's case, the community, they fixed the game in, like, 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, that one thing with the menus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A day? And somebody made a mod that fixed it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But listen, I was going to say, you're not going to need a mod to fix movement watches because they're already incredibly stylish from the beginning. Yeah, you like that one, Eddie? Because I know what you're really going to like, movement watches. There's a style or design that you will personally like out of their large selection. Movement watches are all about looking good while keeping it simple. They don't tell you how many steps you've taken. They don't explode up your wrist. They don't do anything flashy, nothing fancy. They are a nice, timeless timepiece. You like what I did there? Because a watch goes good with nearly any outfit for any occasion, and you can get a very nice, slick-looking watch for only $95. If you wanted this same type of watch from a mall, it's Christmas time. The mall's first of all going to be crowded and packed and miserable, and when you get there, you're going to pay $400 for the same type of watch. You can join over 1.5 million other owners of movement watches in over 160 countries if you go to mvmt.com/official, because that way you can get a holiday gift box from Movement with 15% off, free shipping, and free returns.
Just for our viewers, mvmt.com/official.
We all go ahead.
We all wear them.
Yeah, we all personally wear them as well. We're not just talking them up. We all personally enjoy these watches.
We're all wearing them right now, and we look cool.
Eddie, spell MVMT in your favorite Fallout mods.
Yeah, actually, Eddie, even easier challenge. Spell MVMT out in your favorite shitty Bethesda practices.
Spell it out? What the fuck? Wait, sorry, hold on. I just twisted my brain
around.
So,
like, M, making the same game over and over again.
Oh, no.
Ooh, very boring games.
Yeah, very boring games. Come on, Eddie, keep it going.
Mismanaging customer relations.
Oh, no.
And T, it's time to buy another edition of Skyrim.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah, they gave everyone tuberculosis. Remember that scandal no one talks about when they packaged Skyrim with deadly diseases?
Fucking anti-vaxxers.
It was supposed to be chlamydia, but then they couldn't get the production cost right.
It was too expensive to engineer chlamydia. Hey,
tuberculosis was just a beta.
Oh, God, that's brilliant.
I'm ready.
Eddie, is there any? What are you extremely passionate about?
Movement watch it. No.
Eddie, we're going to need you to come back next week as well.
Yeah.
You know what's been kind of pissing me off lately? And I'm still undecided on it, but I actually bought Battlefield 5. I got it as a birthday gift.
Well, what do you think of it? I'd love to hear about it.
Well, he was going on, Andrew.
Well, I want to start it up, so it seems like I brought up the discussion.
I've only played about 2 hours of it. I loved Battlefield 4. I played a little bit of 3. I was disappointed by Battlefield 1, but still played I played like a month of it. Because my brother and I play, that's like the one game we both play like a ton.
Wait, a month of game time?
No. Four a month. Sorry, yeah, I should clarify. Okay. 4 a month. Yeah. There's a month of game time, yeah. I was disappointed by it, but I spent an entire month of my life in it.
I'm so glad you're saying this, though, because so far I've had the exact same feelings on every Battlefield as you, so please continue.
Yeah, it's just because I think one of the biggest things is I loved in Battlefield 4 there was this sense of mobility. If your team was getting slam dunked on, you could just drive a Jeep around the edge or like go in a helicopter and jump out. And then, you know, if you have like only two people really playing together can turn a game around if they're communicating. And it's just all fucking lanes still. And now especially, it's Battlefield 5. I want to like it. And I think the gunplay is more fun than one. Mm-hmm. But the maps are like, you want to ask DICE if they were trying to make a fun game or if they were just really just still trying to make the Frostbite engine look good. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like the maps are way smaller, but they're like, don't worry. We're just going to throw a bunch of shit in it and it'll be fine.
See, that's what gets me to maybe like for a month every year reinstall Battlefield 4 and play it. Because Battlefield 4 not only still has a player base, it's a bigger player base than Battlefield 1 right now. And it had like this sense of you can do anything and you can approach fights and conflicts and stuff how you want. Like Battlefield 4, you got, all right, you spawn as an infantry on a flag, fine. You can spawn at the base, take a helicopter, take a tank. If you want to flank and go get the back flags that no one's even fighting at, you can do that and help your team, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But Battlefield 1, I haven't played 5, so I don't know if it still has that problem. Battlefield 1 was fun, but it had this problem of like, okay, everyone's at this flag. Every single player is at this one flag.
It's still that. It's still that. Except it's...
That's all that the whole game now. Would be.
Yeah, they split it up now where it's not everyone at one flag, but, like, everyone's at a flag at any moment. So you go to, like, C in the game, and you're trying to capture it, and you kill a guy, and instantly there's a guy directly behind you shooting you. It's, like, every... Right. And I would say, I'm at least on console, because I play on PS4, I'm a good Battlefield player. Most of the time, I'm one or two for the rank of the game. And especially if we win, like for the entire game. Mm-hmm. And in this one, like I can tell when they're just the spawning is insane. And they know that with Battlefield 4 being successful with the player base, because I'm not kidding, I'm holding it right now. in Battlefield 5, when you open up the case, you know, there's always that like little sheet of paper on the inside, on the other side of the disc. It's not
What kind of sheet?
Like, you know, when there's like a paper, if there's like a pre-order code or something like that, when there's on the opposite side of the disc on the inside, there's just an ad for Battlefield 4,
Jesus.
Which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at it right now, just it says Battlefield 4 Modern Military All at War, and when you flip it out or flip it over, it's a Battlefield 1 ad. But they set Battlefield 4 for when you open to look at your new game. Imagine opening like Halo Reach and there's a Halo 2 ad inside.
Yeah,
like that doesn't make any sense.
There's a very passionate fan base behind 4, and it's because 4 is, to a lot of people, the peak of the series. To me, it's the peak of the series.
Yeah, I still play it.
Yeah, I love it. We should be friends. We should squad up and play some 4, man. I love 4. But it just seems like DICE just doesn't have an understanding of what they like. I mean, like, do you remember those moments in Battlefield where you would be losing and getting your ass kicked, so you would just spawn on the furthest away flag, and then you would take a jeep from the main spawn away from everything, and you drive all around the map, and then you'd sit on a far flag, and the only time anyone would even know that you were taking it is when it was like, oh, you lost that flag. And then finally, you'd split the team up, and the movement would still keep going. I never felt I could do that in 1. It just always felt in 1 that no matter where I was going, it was taking me back to that main hub of activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially with that. I mean, it's even worse now because they give a boost to the losing team with capture speed. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, and also, if I don't know how many of you guys like regularly play Battlefield, but the main mode conquest is like ticket bleed.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one.
Sorry, all right, then I'll stop boring you guys with it in a second. But it just like the main game conquest that's like famous for is just, you know, you have a certain amount of tickets and whoever's winning is losing more tickets faster. Whoever gets to zero first loses. In this game, I played 2 hours and every single match was nearly a tie, which is not how the game series usually runs. So I looked it up and they just give huge boosts to the losers. I don't get why game companies right now, this is not just for Battlefield, it's for everything, are like trying to make it so nobody loses, but somebody has to lose every game match. So I don't know why they're making it like trying to be closer and closer.
You feel
it
good.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it makes you coming back. I have a question for you guys then. What is the most disappointed? Like, what is the franchise, maybe not that you love the most, but you think has been ruined the most of anything?
Diablo? Yeah. I mean, that's an objective answer you can give.
Yeah. I'm going to say anything owned.
Whoa. It hasn't been released yet, though.
Yeah, it could be great, Charlie.
You're right. Yeah. We all have phones. I don't know what I was thinking.
I'm going to take my own personal...
It's running on the Gamebryo engine.
I'm going to take my own personal answer. Anything owned by Konami. So Metal Gear, Silent Hills, anything that they used to own that they just dumped and shit on, because those just hurt.
See, Did you see the Silent Hill conspiracy thing?
Where, what is it that Kojima's actually making Silent Hills, but it's
yeah, he's making
else?
PT, but he fucking lied. I don't think Konami, a company, would ever allow such bad press for themselves, but they also don't give a fuck about video games anymore, so I have no idea.
Well, what
but
if Kojima, ever the ruse master, this is actually the longest con he's ever pulled, and it is,
that
it
would
is
be great.
Silent Hills. That'd be amazing. I'd shit my pants.
Did you guys play PT at all?
I did, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was so cool. I just remember, I liked it, it came out in the middle of the summer, so I had really good memories of just having friends come over and play it and scaring the shit out of ourselves.
I think it was only as good as it was because it was just like a vertical slice of a game.
Mm,
if you
agreed.
Stretched that out to be a full game, I'm sure that there would have been limitations.
Well,
I did think, though, the concept trailer that he released was really cool because I loved the idea of a door flying across a hallway and slamming into a wall, and then there's a corridor there where the door was because there was just nothing before. I don't know if you guys saw that trailer, but it was just like a door slamming into a wall, and then there's like a tunnel behind it.
See, I was optimistic on it in general because, if you took the PT idea, it wouldn't last, but Silent Hill as a series is more about like atmospheric horror and kind of just being unnerved and creeped out. So I'm guessing if that was like a section of it, and then the rest of the game was just you're in Silent Hill and you're Norman Reedus and you're looking for all this spooky shit. I don't know. I like PT, and I think it had a lot of potential. And then Konami went, no, fuck video games. Bye. Get out. You're fired. Mm. God, fuck Konami, man. I'm so bitter.
I like Konami.
You do?
How about you, Charlie? Give me a disappointment. That's not Diablo. You must
it could
have
be movies, too, or anything.
Yeah, like a personal one. Give us a personal one, Charlie.
Well, I mean, easy answer for movies is The New Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
That one's,
fair.
That's a fat fucking stinker. I really hope they do go through with the Dark Universe, though. I'd love to see more stinkers like that.
Watch more of your childhood get ruined.
Well, I mean, at that point, it's all IPs. Like, they hyped up a fucking Jekyll and Hyde and all that stuff. I'd like to see more train wrecks from that universe, and I really hope they didn't get discouraged by it bombing, because I genuinely want to see more.
Didn't they downright cancel the extended universe? So I would call that a bit more than discouragement. They canceled the extended universe. They said they weren't going to do another one.
Oh, I didn't know they canceled it.
Well, I thought they did. There hasn't been another movie.
Didn't The Mummy bomb so hard that they canceled the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
I thought you were the one who told us that, Charlie.
No, those words never left my mouth. All I know is it was a bad movie, but I wanted to see more bad movies like it.
Wasn't The Mummy the one that they released a trailer with like missing sound effects in the audio and you just hear Tom Cruise scream?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It's a trailer where it's in the helicopter crash and it's supposed to be a big old like, it's not an extended trailer, but that scene they let linger during the trailer. And it's supposed to be like the helicopter's going into a free fall and everyone's falling around the plane, but the only audio track is the vocals. So it's just this completely silent helicopter crash, but all you hear is Tom Cruise and the other actress just screaming the whole time. It's great. I love it.
I've got a question for you, Eddie. Have you seen the new Fantastic Beasts movie?
Dude. Did you see my tweets? Are you asking that why? Or because I fucking hated that movie so much.
Oh my goodness, Eddie. Thank God you're here. I was ranting about that on the previous episodes as well. It is something special of a bad movie.
I was talking about it so much that I know I was annoying people in my life because I hated it so much. And I usually don't for movies, but holy shit, it was so fucking bad, dude. I spent the whole movie trapped in my own brain fucking criticizing every single sentence they said because there was good part of it. Especially, I think my biggest thing, for people who haven't seen it, I doubt anyone's listening and hasn't seen Fantastic Beasts and doesn't want a small moment spoiled, but
this is going to be spoiler heavy.
This is even toward the beginning. The two, like, goofy side love interest characters is, like, the fatter dude from Balls of Fury, who I actually like, and he's actually the most likable character of that movie, even though in this he doesn't act like a normal human, just like all the characters. They don't behave like people do. But
they're caricatures.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling's imagination.
Yeah. So he had the love interest of he was a muggle or whatever the fuck. What is it? Nomadge, the dumb American name for it. Yeah. And then
it sounds like you're making it up on the spot.
Dude, I know. It's so stupid. And then, so like, he started dating a wizard, and they're not the main characters, but when they meet up with the main character, Newt, in the second movie, for some reason, even though the two of them are in love, the woman has enchanted him to
basically date raped him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. To come to London and get married, even though he doesn't think it's a good idea. So then they break the enchantment, and he's really not even that upset. Like, he's not worried about the fact that he was enchanted. He's just kind of out of it and like, whoa. So they have a small argument. And for a second, after she enchanted him to get married, he almost calls her crazy, but doesn't say it. And she gets so upset by that, she leaves, and now it's his job in the movie to mend their relationship. That's
she
real.
She was the one that date raped him.
It's embarrassing.
It's so fucking bad, and everybody, especially, there's certain, like, all the love scenes, I wonder if is J.K. Rowling married? Or Rowling, however you say. I don't know if she's ever had a relationship with anybody in her life, because she writes love scenes like I'd imagine a 12-year-old girl on Tumblr would write fan fiction.
That's what it was. It was fan fiction. It's fan fiction of her own work somehow. She managed to fucking fan fiction her own property. Impressive.
Yeah, and there's a scene in it where, like, all of Paris just gets covered in, a blanket, and they're like, oh, they're calling the bad guys. And then they don't explain what the blanket is. Like, I don't understand what covering a blanket over a bunch of buildings does. I don't know what that was at all.
It's meant to be dark and mysterious.
Yeah, it's magic. Fuck you. It's magic. Stop trying to explain it.
And they even spend most of the first movie trying to stress, like, we really can't show the real world about magic. You know, which is the boring conflict of the Wizarding World, because all of Harry Potter was Voldemort, and then they kind of worried a little bit about, you know, revealing it to the world. But then the second movie, I could not tell what scenes were, like, hidden by magic for just wizards and what were just out on the street. I had no idea.
Just the pacing in that movie was all over the place. It was so hard to follow.
Yeah, really was.
What, you saw it too, Andrew?
No, I didn't. I'm just agreeing. No, but
I was going to say, Eddie,
go ahead.
You're half right. She does have a spouse, apparently, whom she married in 2001.
Kids.
But yeah, but her Wikipedia photo is her holding a glass of wine, so she kind of half meets the cliche.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same photo. If everyone playing along at home wants to check this out, she looks incredibly fucking sloshy. She looks like that aunt that shows up to every family reunion and never shuts the fuck up.
Did you guys see, Jenny Nicholson on YouTube?
Mm-mm.
She'll, like, criticize movies. She did that, it went viral on Reddit, that Suicide Squad, like, board meeting video. We're, like, trying to pitch it to people. And she made one making fun of it, and she highlighted a point that I didn't think of, which is, spoilers again. How the fuck do you say his name? Dumbledore said it different than everyone else in the movie. Is it Grindelwald?
Grindelwald.
Yeah, that was... Wald. He really stressed it, too. Like, he was correcting everybody, and it was... There was no context for it. But Grindelwald pitches it like, hey guys, we have to stop the Holocaust, and then we have to root for the heroes to stop him. That's her point. She recognized that. But why would you root for heroes that want to keep the Holocaust, like, going?
Can I just say I love the mental image of, and then Dumbledore said, guys, we have to stop the Holocaust.
That's quite literally the plot, though.
It
comes out of
movie
nowhere.
Now.
Set the
really?
This sounds amazing.
To set the stage for Wizard Adolf.
Sounds amazing.
I think one of my biggest problems with the writing of it is that a lot of the time she'll show, like, an object, or she'll mention something and then wait until the end of the movie to show you. So you're waiting the whole time confused, and then they show you, and instantly you just go, I'm sure she thinks you'll go, oh my God. But your reaction is, oh, that's fucking dumb. I shouldn't have been confused that whole movie for that payoff. The big spoiler, which I don't even understand it. The big spoiler for it is that they keep showing this one little object with, like, it's like a little crystal thing with two things floating inside of it. And they keep showing you, like, hey guys, it's significant. And the whole movie, the cops are trying to get Dumbledore to fight Grindelwald because they're the two most popular wizards, or powerful wizards, for no reason. We are not told any reason why they are.
They're not the most powerful, the most popular. That's why they have to do it.
They are, though, really. They are the two most popular, and that's why they're the most powerful. They don't give us any other reason other than, like, hey guys, they're really powerful, but I don't see them do magic, like, either, really, the whole movie. But this item that they talk about is that, apparently they were lovers at Hogwarts, and they made an item that was a blood pact that they would never fight each other with magic. Imagine if you're just hanging out with your friend and you're like, hey, you want to promise that we'll never kill each other? Like,
well,
what?
Okay, but it's not friendship. It's they're gay. They're lovers. That's why they make the blood pacts. But I was going to say, we brought this up in one of the past episodes, Eddie, and Charlie told us about this blood pact thing. And I said, well, couldn't Dumbledore just stand in front of people as like a human meat shield?
Yes.
And deflect all of Gumbledump's attacks? And Charlie said, no, that's why they're using proxy. So I thought, well, couldn't, if Dumbledore gave everybody a blood transfusion, would they also be immune to Grumbledown? Couldn't this happen? Wouldn't they be immune to his magic?
The problem with Fantastic Beasts is the second you think about anything that happens in the movie, it falls apart. Like, the second you even... It's any moment in it. And even, like, the fact that they're lovers isn't an excuse for, like, can you imagine if you were with your girlfriend and you're just like, hey, we really need to make a blood pact so we don't kill each other one day. Like, I would be so worried if somebody said that to me.
It's a magician's prenup. It's just, hey, if we ever divorce, you don't get to kill me and take half my stuff.
If you get married in the Harry Potter world, it's part of the vows. It's like a common cultural thing.
I will not kill you even if you do the wizard holocaust.
I promise to have and to hold you and to not cast Wingardium Leviosa.
There's another moment that pissed me off in the beginning where they wanted to show, I guess they wanted to show that Grindelwald was like worse than Voldemort. So they raided a house because they needed a hideout in Paris and they killed the family. And then they saw, oh no, there's a baby there. We killed the parents and they have a baby. And he just like sends a woman in. You see a moment where he's like, should I kill this baby so I seem worse than Voldemort? And then he just like walks out of the room and some lady does it. So is she worse than Voldemort? Like, I don't fucking know. None of it.
It's meant to show that he has true power over his followers, Eddie.
Okay. But wasn't Voldemort, I mean, doesn't Voldemort just kind of sort of forget to kill Harry? Wasn't that?
No, he tried to kill Harry.
He tried.
That's why he has the scar on his forehead.
It was his mum's love that protected him.
Okay, well then, no, he's not worse than Voldemort because Voldemort tried. Just because he couldn't doesn't mean he didn't wanna.
But the worst thing to do in a prequel is to show that the villain isn't as bad as the villain from the original movies. Because there's no reason to fear them then because we saw the other one get beat. So, and we already know, this is one thing that pissed me off is, you know, in LA there's like more... movie billboards than like any other city. I saw so many billboards before I came home. I'm in Chicago right now, where it was all fucking 300 characters from the movie in one picture.
So many.
And it was, who will change the future, was the tagline. And we know the future. It's Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We know the future. So what's the point of any of these movies if they're the reason to go is to see how the future will change when we all know it?
That's part of the problems with prequels. That's why I don't like them. I already know what's going to happen.
Well,
to
that's
all
what I love about
characters.
Red Dead is they give you little pieces for it in the original story, and then you just want to know what happened because you care about the characters.
Charlie,
some franchises pull it off right. For example, I like Better Call Saul. Mm. You know what happens to Saul Goodman, but you're still into it because he's a really good character. But other than that, everything has to be exaggerated because chronologically speaking, it's a sequel.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit, though.
Charlie and I were actually talking about this a couple weeks ago. We can't think of a single movie franchise, like not games or TV because they're good examples, but I can't think of a single movie franchise where the prequel is ever the superior installment.
I had one. Fuck.
Did you now? I don't believe you. Because I even looked up a list. I got desperate because I could not think of it. I even looked up a list. One of the top rated ones is the third Planet of the Apes movie.
All of those count. If all those count as prequels, I actually really love those movies, except half of Rise of the Planet of the Apes is like a weird romance with James Franco. But the other half of those I love.
I openly will admit they're not great movies. Like, I wouldn't hype them up as good, but I
prequels to the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, they're all right. They're fine. I enjoyed watching them personally, but I also don't think that they're objectively like amazing or anything.
No, prequels are always a problem. But to get back, Charlie, I wouldn't really want to hear this scene because you didn't mention this last time we were making fun of J.K. Rowling. Dumbledore mentions he has to stop the Holocaust. How does that go down?
No. Grindelwald. That's how he. It's like this big moment, like after he's put the blanket over New York City or whatever the fuck it was, and everyone comes into a circus tent, all the bad guys. He's like, I don't hate nomadges. I don't hate them. I want to help them. This is the future for which I have seen. Then he shows like World War II footage. He's like, we must prevent this from happening. It's obviously like the Holocaust, which is why I said like, setting the stage for Wizard Hitler. What?
How is he the bad guy then?
Well, he's not anymore once she showed that.
In J.K. Rowling's mind, how is he the bad guy? Why am I supposed to root against the guy?
Because he wants to kill people to stop that from...
Yeah,
that
and
yeah, that's fine. That's fine by me. If you have to kill 10 children to stop the Holocaust, I agree. Do it.
But yeah, she does the kind of lazy thing where, you know, it's the same thing. This was, again, in Jenny Nicholson's video where, like, you know how Voldemort and his followers were supposed to be, you know, basically Nazis. And she takes that kind of, like, they're basically Nazis, guys. But then their plot is to stop Nazis. So I don't know. Yeah. There's nothing that makes sense about the plot for it.
He's probably just manipulating them.
Yeah.
Well, I had a
into what? Stopping the Holocaust? Okay, manipulate away.
Manipulating them with the Holocaust.
No, the wizards. He's, yeah, like that they would want to do that so they can take over and make the wizards, like, rule the world.
Yeah, Jackson and I were tossing around some speculation, and I came up with the fun little idea that I think J.K. Rowling might explore, where Grindelwald polyjuices into Hitler and conducts the Holocaust himself.
Well, that was my idea, first of all. Thank you for stealing it. But.
Bullshit, I said he polyjuices into Hitler. You can check the text message logs.
So he's like, guys, never mind, I like Jews, you know? He fuses the situation.
I don't remember what the fuck other speculation we had, but I really think that's where J.K. Rowling would go.
If a mage wanted to stop World War II, it would be so easy for him to just cast a fireball at Hitler, teleport out, in and out.
Well, that's why none of the Harry Potter stories are in any major real-world events, because they could just end it, and if they didn't, they're an asshole. So
yeah.
That's why they don't bring it toward there. But she was like, I'm going to make it after World War I. One of the characters is going to be a veteran, and World War II is coming, and they want to maybe stop it. Which, never add a whole new, like, powerful race of people into World War II and then just have it happen the way it happened.
None of it makes sense. Like, if you have a bad guy in a movie, you want the audience to hate that guy if he's a
real
bad guy.
That's what watching it was such an issue, is everything that happened. I was just, my brother and I, we went to see it because we knew it was bad and we wanted to make fun of it, even though I actually really like Harry Potter a lot. And so it's this kind of like disappointment, but also a little bit, I don't know if you guys saw the video Gus and I made on J.K. Rowling, but we made fun of the fact that she like changes everything to seem more progressive, even though she didn't do it originally.
Yeah, that's a common complaint, it seems.
Yeah, so I just kind of see it now to almost like rag on J.K. Rowling a little bit, because she clearly had only the idea for the ending scene of it is like kind of this big spectacle, and then she was like, we'll fucking figure it out. I don't know, we'll write something in the beginning.
I honestly think what it was is she saw the Avengers where they almost humanized Thanos, where he has like a motive that a lot of pseudo-intellectuals would rally behind. And she's like, well, what if I could do that for Grindelwald, where he's not like this super uber bad guy? Maybe he wants to stop the Holocaust.
Ooh, that's terrible, though.
I know. She didn't do it well. I wasn't condoning that.
Thanos is like, well, I want to save life, so what if like...
What if I killed them?
Yeah. What if I kill them so they can't starve to death? I'm
also,
good.
For Hitler no reason.
A little,
sorry. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The girl that enchanted the dude earlier can also read minds, which it's she's a witch or whatever the fuck they call it in Harry
Professor
Potter.
Professor Xavier.
But,
she's
so that's all right, I guess, as a plot point. But then she abandons her Muggle. Like boyfriend for Grindelwald for no reason. She could read his mind and know he's evil instantly, and she's just like,
the whole reason she joined Grindelwald was to save their relationship. It makes no sense.
Yeah, he's a fucking purist with like genetics, and he hates like them getting married and being muggles. Like, they, I guess he said he didn't at the last bit, but the rest of the movie he does say that he's the same as Voldemort with it. So instantly, just read his mind. He's fucking lying. That's it.
Yeah, that's a good. I didn't even think
like
of that.
Bad boy.
She instantly reads the mind of like 9 characters throughout the movie, but
yep,
never
but not
once
the bad
on
guy.
Him. Yeah,
and it just doesn't.
She made a blood pact with him years ago that she would never read his mind.
Never read his mind. Except he complained. Or, oh no, that's Grindelwald. Never mind. It's just every scene. It's not even, you know, there's some frustration stuff with like Zack Snyder's writing, where like clearly he wanted like big, crazy moments, and he didn't really know how to write for it. I don't know what J.K. Rowling was thinking. Like, I would actually like to ask her, like, go scene by scene and be like, all right, so what was the point of this one? Like, what were you doing?
Well, I'd start right from the beginning. So why did you even bother having his mind be erased if it didn't get erased?
I know. I guess they showed at the end that he kind of remembered, but then, yeah, it just didn't, I don't know.
And he didn't even explain that. He just like, I thought you got erased. No.
Well, to be fair, J.K. Rowling could expertly explain all of these plot holes. She just needs 2 bottles of wine and a cat she can pet meanwhile.
Yeah.
But, you know, having not seen it, this Grindelwald guy sounds like an alright fella. I mean, he wants to stop the Holocaust and he doesn't want to hurt
allegedly,
his boyfriend.
You're falling for him.
It's not
I'm falling for this guy who says, I don't want 6 million Jews to die. Yeah. Sounds like a good
premise to me.
He's lying to
you. He's going to be the one to kill them. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like no matches.
He had a polyjuice potion the whole time.
If he wanted them to die, he'd just stay out of it.
Also, I don't know if you guys all saw the first one. Did you guys see the first one?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I didn't mind the first one, but then there's this character, Credence, in it that's supposed to be like a super powerful wizard. And then he straight
Credence?
Up... Yeah, he doesn't make
it
in the first movie. And they start the second movie and they're just like, Credence is alive. And he's like, what? I thought he died. They're just like, he's alive and he's in Paris and we know exactly where he is. And then he didn't give a shit about who he was in the first movie. And now I guess the only thing he's driven by is like who his family is, which like imagine being an orphan for like 23 years and then just randomly at 23 being like, the only thing I care about is finding out my last name. That's all I give a shit about.
Which is the whole movie. And then they eventually, to lead towards the end, they're like, well, why don't we just check the records?
Honestly.
The coolest scene in that movie, though, was when he's in that house with Nagini and the bounty hunter shows up and then explodes the room. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that when he's kind of blowing shit up with his magic stuff is really cool.
And this is tempting me to buy a ticket right now to go and see it, but I
you
know
should, you should see it. You'd have a it's bad, but it creates good conversation. There's a lot there to unpack.
Yeah.
There's like okay, conversation with who, like
the person sitting next to you at the theater, just like,
yes, just in disbelief. Are you seeing this shit?
What the fuck is this?
Hi, I'm Kaya. Nice to meet you. I hate this movie.
Isn't this shit? Do you want to hang out?
Do you want to just hang out? Go anywhere else.
Another thing I thought was crazy too was in that movie. There's like, and it's insane that I could mention this many things, but there's. You remember in the Harry Potter series, there's a prophecy that leads like the whole series that one of the books is finding out, like learning it and everything like that, or at least people know it. There's just one prophecy for this movie. Like they just waste an entire prophecy on this movie. But I think it would be cool if you remember the Deathly Hallows animation, like to show all the 3 items.
Yeah,
I really like that moment. If they maybe did that in the beginning to show the prophecy for this one to set you up, but there's no exposition at all for this prophecy. Just some characters kind of half mention it. And it doesn't... It's like, I feel like she wrote this movie thinking that everybody going to see it reads her fucking, what's the website, like Pottermore or whatever, like they pour through all the lore and she's like, everybody's gonna fucking love this.
I mean, she has to be going through fan fiction for inspiration, right?
Isn't that what a Cursed Child is, or the Cursed Child? Wasn't it just fan fiction she just approved?
And then she said it's canon out of nowhere, like no one asked her to. She just said it's canon.
And it's
that's so bad.
It's still making money as a play, so I guess that's why she approved it. Because she didn't want to write a sequel. And the whole point of the end of Harry Potter with like Malfoy and stuff is they set aside their differences, and you know, there's that nodding scene at the end of the movie where they're like, we're cool now. The Accursed Child, apparently, the biggest plot point is that Harry's son is a Slytherin and he really fucking hates it, which is the least of Harry's problems in his life. So I don't know why it would be that big of a deal.
But it's canon, so he really does hate it.
Yeah. So yeah, Harry's a shithead dad, and that's, you're supposed to accept that as canon because she read a fan fiction and was like, well, I can't write good shit anymore, so I guess this will have to do.
God, I'm tempted to buy a ticket right now.
I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah. Do you need to have seen the first one?
You don't need to see the first one.
I have seen the first one. I vaguely remember it, but it's on Netflix. So I could catch up.
I want to see it too, and I haven't seen the first one.
I didn't see the first one either.
Wait, Jackson, you have not seen the first one?
Yeah, I haven't seen the first one.
But you saw this one? How the hell? Yeah. Why?
Because Charlie made it sound really funny.
you lazy fuck, like you couldn't even be bothered to check it out on Netflix, like skim it at least.
Why? Oh, it sounded even funner just going in blind.
Oh, honestly, man, Jackson's convincing me now.
But no, if anything, Charlie makes it sound like it would be more fun if you actually know the lore of the first one and see all the contradictions.
I didn't know the lore and stuff.
There's literally three points that carry over from the first movie.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Charlie's main argument last time was everything that happened in the conclusion of the first movie means jack shit.
You would be less confused seeing the sequel if you didn't see the first one. And I genuinely mean that.
But you might as well see the first one because you have the time, Kaya. I'd recommend going in full throttle. Read your Twitter as well to catch up.
Twitter? What do you mean?
She usually does a lot of like plot stuff on Twitter.
Oh, well, yeah. Her Twitter's... It's something else, yeah. Everybody is black, everybody's Jewish and Asian, and she's so woke, and she meant for that character to be a progressive lesbian.
I think that one of the tweets that has pissed me off more than anything is just her lying when she made the snake an Asian woman, and then somebody tweeted at her and was like, how long did you keep a secret from us? And she was like, 20 years. And it's like, you were not holding that in for 20 fucking years. You made that up yesterday.
What is this about a snake? Quentin brought this up too, and I don't remember.
It's Nagini. The snake from the main franchise.
Voldemort's snake is just, I guess, used to be an Asian girl.
Is that the snake who, it's one of the like last movies, it's slithering across the table while a lady...
Yes.
Well, some woman's levitating.
The one that Neville fucking swipes up.
She was a Horcrux.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, God. See, I want to watch the Harry Potter movies because those were, I think, kind of good.
They're great.
Especially the first few, like the when they're still all kids and it's this nice summer movie, lighthearted. Yeah, it's little kids like solving magic mysteries and stuff. That's fun. That's cool. And then by the movies 4, 5, and 6, whichever is the one with the maze, the Olympics, Olympics.
Yeah, Goblet of Fire.
It goes all moody and goth and all where everything is dark now. Harry is.
I actually think
up.
It does it really well. I didn't like the Order of the Phoenix or Goblet, but Half Blood Prince and then both Deathly Hallows, I think, did it well. My biggest complaint with those movies, though, is they kind of kill very important characters off screen. They're like, well, what happened to big important character X? Mm. Yeah,
worst one with that is at the start of Deathly Hallows 1 where they're riding along. They're escaping from the Death Eaters, and then Hedwig dies immediately, and no one gives a shit. And then,
I didn't even know that.
It's because it happens in a moment where nobody can really talk. They're running, and so in the book you could hear that. In Harry's head. No, they should have at least shown more of like his face being devastated or something. But he kind of just looks back, is like, "Oh fuck, my owl's dead." All right, let's keep going.
And then when they land, they're like, "Oh, what happened to the leader of the good guys? Oh, he died back there. It's all good." Yeah. Mad-Eye Moody just fucking disappears.
I forgot.
In the books, too, when Mad-Eye's in... Is it Order of the Phoenix when he just, like, joins back up and they treat it like Mad-Eye and Harry know each other, but the plot of Goblet of Fire is they don't know who each other who they are, like, because he was, you
well,
know.
I guess they get to know each other over the summer break, maybe.
Okay. Because, yeah, I remember in the movie that happening and him being like, Mad-Eye, what's up? And it's like, you didn't really have a conversation with that dude, like, the entire time.
Yeah, that's right, because he was trapped in the box.
Yeah, he was trapped in a box, and the villain version of Mad-Eye does good things in this story. That's
yeah,
what
it's really weird. He was helping Harry. I get that he was, like, helping Harry through to the end so that he could meet Voldemort, but he did it in such a kind way.
Yeah, like he saves, like Malfoy's bullying him and he turns Malfoy into a weasel. It's like, well, that wouldn't have really stopped Harry from doing anything. You were just kind of helping him out from a bully.
He gave him like confidence and shit too, like little pep talks in the locker room. Yeah. Christ, I want to go watch those movies again.
I've been rewatching them this last week.
I want to check Amazon right now if they're on Prime.
The first couple, though, the special effects have aged terribly. I'm not complaining that it takes away from the movie, but there's a scene in the first one where Harry's flying around on a broom and losing control. And when they show him flying on the broom and it cuts to the CGI, it looks like a fucking Xbox game, like an original Xbox game. Yeah. And then they do the cowboy switch where the CGI Harry goes off screen and the real one flies in, and it's so jarring, it pulls you out immediately.
Troll scene from Chamber of Secrets didn't age well.
That
either,
one,
where
too.
He's like whipping
that one looks
horrendous. Wait. Troll scene? That was in Philosopher's Stone.
That was also in the first one.
It was also in the first one. It looks like a fucking...
Oh, yeah, because obviously
like
Quirrell
does
the troll in the dungeon thing. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah. Fake fan.
I knew the details of the moment that I fucked up.
I like them. I don't know.
I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm just saying the CGI and effects are not aged well. That's all.
Yeah. I'm actually super happy with the direction J.K. Rowling's taking it, because I can't think of any movie besides the newest Predator that I've been able to constantly look back on and laugh at more than Fantastic Beasts. It's truly stunning.
God
what
damn
she's
it!
Done.
Don't make me buy a ticket for this piece.
Do it,
because it sounds funny right now. Like I'm in the zone. Like we're doing the podcast. Oh, it's gonna be super funny if I watch it this week, and then next week I can rag on it too. I'm gonna be part of the gang, the J.K. Rowling hate squad. But then I'm gonna be sitting there, and it's gonna be boring, bad. Like, oh, Jesus.
No. Trust me, it's not boring bad, because every scene will have you questioning what the fuck is happening. And not in a way where it's like silent or the characters aren't explaining things. I mean, maybe not explaining. They're explaining things that it just doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, that's why it's fun, is because there's not a dull moment throughout the whole thing.
The prison break at the start was cool. There are cool scenes sprinkled in and out throughout the movie as well, at least visually.
I mean, I believe that. And Grendelwald, he looks cool. Johnny Depp looks like a cool character, but if like half the scenes are, oh, I want to stop the Holocaust. No, you're evil.
No, that's not until the end.
Dude, there's barely any conflict until the very end. Like, there's really not shit happening.
That makes it sound terrible. What do you mean there's barely any conflict? So what's
like
most of the
movie? You just got to see it, man. It's not like... It's not boring because everything that happens is confusing. And there are, while things are being written poorly, there are really cool visuals for some of it and like some cool chase scenes and stuff. So it's bad and it is cool to look at sometimes.
It's a nice train wreck, Kyle. You remember when Andrew and I were talking about the Predator movie, which was about the aliens trying to capture autism to bring it to their planet?
Yeah. That movie's a masterpiece, by the way. I want to weigh in. That movie is fucking amazing. Yeah.
I've not seen it, but I'm disappointed because I really like The Nice Guys, and I'm sad
no.
that this next movie is terrible.
No, man. Like, the Predator...
It's something special.
Predator is you go in, and I don't know what to expect. You can hype it up as a sci-fi action movie. I think they list it as a horror movie, which makes no sense to me, or they market it as a horror movie. But the instant you start, there's a giant, loud, downright disruptive, abrupt noise of an engine flying across the screen, and it's a spaceship. So already the movie's like slamming your attention into paying attention to it, and it just goes into the scene of this alien crash landing, and you have zero fucking idea what's going on, but it's already, even before the end credits or the opening credits end, because it happens in the middle of one of the opening, like 20th Century Fox Presents or whoever owns it, and it's just immediately this sound and noise of confusing bullshit, and it just from start to finish is hilarious. And if Fantastic Beasts is anything like it, then it's a worthwhile movie.
That's why I made the comparison, because it takes the essence of that ridiculous story, Aliens That Want Our Autism, and it stretches it over the course of 2 hours. And it has you wondering why. What were they thinking? It's pretty beautiful.
What's the runtime of that movie? Or at least, what would you guess, Charlie?
I'd say probably about like 2 hours, 15 minutes, something.
Yeah,
like
I would say 2 hours.
Wow, that's a long fucking movie. Jesus.
Gee, holy shit.
It didn't feel...
I was just about to say, it doesn't feel that long because you get locked inside your own head thinking about things.
It's a nice time for quiet reflection of yourself.
Oh, there's nothing quiet about it. It's just so goddamn thought-provoking.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes, apparently.
Ooh,
which
wow.
Average, I guess, these days.
I don't know if this is a mistake from Google, but it's saying that the first one was also exactly 2 hours and 13 minutes.
It's part of J.K. Rowling's master plan.
Yeah. They're all 2 hours 13.
Dumbledore has to put in the code into the nuclear missile console. It's 213, and then it launches the nukes at
Grindelwald. And then on Twitter, she's like, you guys might notice something a little peculiar about the runtimes on these movies.
They're tweeting at her, how long did you keep in the runtime secret, J.K.? 1500 years.
That is precisely 133 minutes, which is an Asian number, believe it or not. Andrew, are you going to see this movie? If Andrew takes the pledge to see this turd, so will I.
How long is it in theaters
it's
for?
It's 2 hours of your life.
Take your mom to see it, Andrew. Just take your mom to see it. It'll give you guys something to do, and it'll give you something to talk about.
It'll have a nice, we'll have a nice conversation during the movie.
No, take your mom while she's here. Just go like tomorrow or something while she's still in town.
Maybe. We'll see.
Doesn't do it. I'm talking about right now. Do you take the pledge or not?
Fine. I will see this movie.
God damn it.
You really wanted him to say yes, Kai. Don't put on this tough guy facade.
I would have been very relieved if he had said fuck no.
Can you go in blind and still appreciate it?
Yes.
Okay, then, because I don't want to bother with
one. You've heard enough about the context from us that I think you'll be fine. You'll be able to like see scenes and go, oh, that's what they were talking about.
I just don't know any of the characters or anything. But
For a second, I considered trying to do like a quick recap of the first one to tell you what you would need for the second one. But genuinely, I can't think of a solid piece of information you need going into it other than like the main character holds a suitcase and there are animals in it.
All right.
And that's all you need.
He's a zoologist.
With that, you have literally sold me on watching it with no context. I'm in.
He's a crappy doctor. Doctor Who ripoff and Dumbledore's young.
I'm in. Because I also have
Dumbledore doesn't do anything either.
I also haven't seen Harry Potter. I've only seen the first one. So
what?
I don't give a fuck about Harry Potter. I never mentioned this. I don't care
about
it.
Dude, you need to watch it. It's great.
That sounds like not watching it just because you wanted to go against the grain. It's not a good franchise.
Not even close. I just never sat down and watched it.
How do you avoid it? It's not like all of us saw it because we're gigantic fans. It's just part of our childhood. You end up somehow seeing it.
When I was a kid, the first Harry Potter book came out. I read it. I said, this is boring, and I never got into it since.
Oh, well, you read a book.
I read the I read the first book.
Hey, the book's great.
I didn't like it as a kid.
We watched the movies.
Yeah.
The cool kids.
So then, since I didn't care about it as a kid and I don't have nostalgia on it, I just never once went, you know, I should watch Harry Potter.
I only watched the
first one because a group of friends were watching it and I was like, okay, sure. And we watched it. That was it. I'm not saying Harry Potter's bad. I actually think it's pretty good from what I've seen in the lore building all the plot points, but. Like
The J.K. Rowling army's coming after you now, Andrew.
But now that I think I'll have the best time then if I don't understand any form of any of this and just watch this.
I think what's going to happen is you're going to go to the movie with your mother. It's going to light like a love for J.K. Rowling and her beautiful senile mind.
Jesus.
And you're going to go down the rabbit hole.
You should really watch the original franchise. It's great.
I really
I've been meaning to.
Yeah. We've been going like 2 hours now. I think we can start to wrap up.
Let's end it on me saying that I have bought my ticket.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's also end it on bringing out this piece of information. I was correct before when I said it was my idea about the Polyjuice. Charlie was wrong. I found the receipts. So, Charlie, can you confirm? I sent you the picture.
He sent me a photoshopped picture or something. There's like crayon scribbled on it.
All right, anyway, well, I have Eddie, my tickets. I may or may not go. Eddie, plug your stuff.
Well, yeah. First off, I want to say thank you guys for having me. This was so much fun, genuinely. This
was awesome. Shut up and plug your stuff.
Thank you for
coming. I'm sorry.
My YouTube channel is Eddie Burback. It's Eddie with a Y. And then also my podcast is the Gus and Eddie Podcast. Just searching those will do it. And it's everything's Eddie Burback on like Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that.
Awesome, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having
super
me.
Super nice chatting with you. Big fan. All right. Thank you, everyone at home, for watching and listening to this podcast. If you want to help support us, we got a Patreon at patreon.com/theofficialpodcast. There's reward tiers over there that let you get bonus content each month. I think it's 2 episodes a month. They're about an hour and a half long each. So it's a good amount of content. Head on over there. Check out the reward tiers. Yeah, thank you to everyone for watching.
We're also on the internet, Jackson. If you want to spread our influence on the World Wide Web and make us feel powerful and mighty, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or any other podcast audio formats. There you go. That's it. We had to make sure we said that.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, bye, everyone.
All right.
Share, subscribe, comment below,
yeah.
Like Andrew just said.
And goodbye. Tweet, and fuck it. Bye.